This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope that everyone is doing well, inshallah ta'ala. It is Sunday, June 13th, 2021. Alhamdulillah, we are in step one of the reopening plan that our province has in place. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to be able to reopen the entire province, the entire country, and the entire world to the freedoms that we once had, and to never let us forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this to us as a reminder to turn closer to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us always be amongst those that remember Him wherever we go and submit to Him in our actions and ibadah. Ameen. So today we're going to be continuing essential fiqh. We are, of course, going through the business transactions chapter. We concluded last week talking about depositing wealth with someone for safekeeping, as in leaving it with them as an amana. We also looked at lending money or items to people and what the responsibility is with regards to the borrower and the lender and so on and so forth. We also looked at debt transfer, so transferring debt to someone else if we're unable to pay for it or pay it and someone else is able to, then the person who lent the money should allow the person who owed them money to have it paid off through someone else, or have someone else pay that off on behalf of that person who owes the money. And we looked at pawning as well. So today we're going to start with lost and found. Okay, we're going to be looking at lost and found. This topic refers to all found items. Okay, so all items that are found and have some sort of value concerning which it is not known who the rightful owner is. So you find something that has some substantial amount of value, but you don't know who the owner of those items are, regardless of what the item is. We're going to look at some items in particular. In general, this topic refers to lost items other than animals. Okay, lost items other than animals. Animals are known by a different name, and that is considered dalla. Okay, so we're looking at items that are found that have some sort of monetary value or some sort of value, substantial amount of value, and the person who it belongs to is unknown. Okay. So what is obligatory upon the finds this wealth? So you're walking down the street, you find something that doesn't belong to you, what must you do? So if someone finds some sort of wealth that doesn't belong to them, it is a must, it is an obligation with Islam upon that person to make it known, the wealth that was found and the amount that was found. So for example, you find a purse, or you find a wallet. In the wallet, there is money, actual like bills. Okay, so say there's $250 found. So you need to let people know that a wallet was found that contains $250. Okay, now that's the most that you really need to reveal, because any more bills, then you might just never be able to know who the actual owner is, because what you want to do is you want to be able to allow the person who comes to claim that item, you want to give them the opportunity to describe what it is, what it might have in it as well. There may be some cards, some business cards, might be someone's name, address, and so on. If that's the case, then it's a lot easier to find who it belongs to. But if it's a general wallet and there's only $250 in it, the person might come and say, I lost my wallet, it's mine, it's brown, it has a logo that looks like this on it, this is in the back, but there's nothing in there, and I usually keep a yellow post-it note on the inside in case I need to write something down. If they describe it and it belongs to them, you know who it is, okay? So if someone finds some wealth, it is obligatory upon him to make known its type and amount. Okay, so there's a wallet that contains $250 within it. He then takes a trustworthy person as a witness to what he has found. So you need to make sure that there's someone who witnesses what you found. Ideally, two witnesses, okay? He then safeguards the wealth and announces it for a period of 1 year. So you want to look after the wallet. Let's just pretend this is a wallet. You're going to look after this wallet with the $250 in it for 1 year. But you're going to announce that you have it, okay? If its rightful owner claims it by identifying its signs properly, by identifying the item properly, he is to be given the wealth even if it is after a year's time. So if the person comes within that year and they identify it, then you must give it to them. It belongs to them. If they come after that time as well and you have that wealth, then you know you give that wealth to them as well. Otherwise, the one who found it can benefit from it. Okay, so if after a year no one comes and claims it, then you can benefit from it. Suwaid ibn Ghafla said he met Ubay ibn Ka'b, and Ubay ibn Ka'b said, I found a money purse, wallet, right, or a small pouch containing 100 dinar. I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, make a public announcement concerning it for 1 year. I did so, but no one claimed it. Then I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again, and he said, make a public announcement concerning it for 1 year. I did again, but nobody claimed it. So I went to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a third time. He then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep the container and its string to tie. Count it, and if its owner comes, give it to him. Otherwise, use it. And then the sub-narrator, of course, says, I met Suwaid, and he said, I do not know if it was 3 years of announcements or just 1 year of announcements. Okay. Iyad ibn Himar said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever finds a lost item should have one or two trustworthy people witness it. Then he should not change it or conceal it. As in, you don't do anything to it. You found something. You found this wealth. Take it. Preserve it. Protect it. Look after it. Don't do anything. You know, don't damage it. Don't do anything to the wealth. Take care of it. And make sure that you have two witnesses. He then continues to say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he should not change it or conceal it. If its owner comes, he has the most right. So if the person comes and claims it, then it belongs to them. It doesn't belong to the person who found it. Otherwise, if the owner does not show, it is the wealth of Allah that he gives to whom he wills. So if the owner of that does not show up, then consider that something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, and you can now use that wealth. Hope that's clear. Hope it's easy to understand. It's very straightforward and simple. Now, we will look at two types of animals, which is just interesting. I know of us, probably every single one of us, you know, doesn't really have any sheep, or maybe don't have any camels either, but we're going to look at lost sheep or camels, except maybe Mahtab. Where's Mahtab? Is he here? Probably. So he has some animals at his home in Australia, and he might have some sheep. Or you may have found some sheep. So if someone finds a lost goat or sheep, and the reason why I'm mentioning this is to show us the difference in animals and how the Sharia looks at certain things. If someone finds a lost goat or sheep, okay, that person should take the animal and announce what was found. Announce it to the people. If its owner comes, it should be returned to them. Otherwise, the one who found that goat or sheep becomes the owner. However, if one finds a lost camel, that person is not to take the camel because there's no reason for fear for the camel. Okay, and we'll look at an example of that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Zayd ibn Khalid radiyallahu anhu said, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him about finding lost items. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, make a public announcement about it for a year, safeguard its container and tie string. So whatever wealth you found, make sure that it's in that container or put it in something and tie it, right? That's how you keep it safe. Remember, at their time, they didn't have like these lock boxes. They didn't have safes. They didn't have, you know, access to a bank like we do, for example. They didn't have homes like ours that lock, you know, we have locks and stuff like that. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, make a public announcement for it for a year, safeguard its container and tie string. If someone comes and describes it to you, give it to them. If someone is coming and claiming it and they describe it exactly as it is, give it to them. Otherwise, you may utilize it. He then said, as in the Bedouin man, he asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what about a lost goat or sheep? He replied, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is going to be for you, your brother, or the wolf. So a lost goat or sheep can't protect itself. So either you are going to take it in, or the owner of it is going to come and claim it from you, or you're going to leave it, and the owner of it has lost it already, and that goat or sheep is going to roam, and a wolf is going to attack it and eat it. Okay? So then the Bedouin man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what about the lost camel? And at this point, the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned red, and he said, what do you have to do with it? Allergies. Alhamdulillah. Hopefully you all respond and say, Yarhamukallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, he then said, Allahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's go back. The man he asks now, the Bedouin man, he says, what about a lost camel? At this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face turned red and he said, what do you have to do with it? As in, what is it? What is it of your concern? If you see a camel roaming, why are you so concerned about the camel? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what do you have to do with it? It's its feet, its supply of water, and it can reach places of water, and it can eat shrubbery, as in it can eat shrubs and, you know, whatever it needs to eat. So this is an example of how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam differentiated between certain types of animals as well. An animal that has the ability to defend itself and look after itself and is a wild animal, let it roam. Let it roam. Okay. An animal like a sheep or a goat that can't defend itself, then take it in, look after it. And you may either, of course, at some time, if no one claims it, use it, consume from it, and so on. So the animal that can't defend itself, you take it in, look after it, protect it, and announce for the owner to come and claim it. The animal that can look after itself and is big, like the camel, and doesn't get easily hunted, right, in the desert, for example, it knows how to find its food, it knows how to find water, it knows, it even has the ability to preserve the water and travel long distances. You leave that camel on its own, and so any wild animal, you could say, that has the ability to look after itself, leave it. Alhamdulillah, right? It is wild, it will look after itself. And I'll leave that to you to figure out on your own what you're going to apply this to. All right, the next thing we got is finding edible and insignificant items. So finding some food or finding something that has no value. If someone finds something edible in the path, it is permissible for them to eat it,
if you're traveling somewhere, walking somewhere, and you see something that's just left there, some food, and of course it's halal and it's good, it's not spoiled and rotten, and you want to eat it, technically, if no one's there to claim it, you have the right to eat it, right? Similarly, if he finds an insignificant item that no one would care about losing, he may take it and own it. Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by some dates along the path, and he said, "If I did not fear that they had been given in charity, I would have eaten them. If I did not fear that they were given in charity, I would have eaten them." And that, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doesn't take charity, right? If it was a gift to him, he can take it. If it was charity, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not take and consume it. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "If I didn't fear that this had been given in charity, I would have eaten them, the dates that were there." And this shows us that something that is found of food, like a food item, or something that doesn't really have much of a value, as in someone is not really concerned if they lost it, no big deal, right? For example, someone drops $5 and later on they're like, "Oh, where's my $5? It might cost you $20 to go back to that spot to try and find the $5. It's not worth it. You just let it go. So if someone finds something of that sort insignificant, you can just keep it. Lost items found in the precincts of the haram, right? The holy sanctuary of Mecca and Medina. So lost items that are found within the or sacred mosques can only be picked up if they are to be announced perpetually and will not be owned by its finder after 1 year. Just like other items, as we mentioned. So you find something in the haram in Mecca, or you find something, you're not allowed to take it and claim it, except if you are going to announce about your finding of it and constantly remind people or put that in out so that people can come and claim it within a year. Okay, so you have to do that. The Messenger of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Allah has made Mecca sacred. It is not permissible for anyone to fight herein before me, and it was only permissible for me for a portion of the day. Therefore, its shrubs are not to be uprooted, its trees are not to be cut, its game, as in the animal life, life that is there, is not to be chased, and its lost items should not be picked up, except by whoever announces it publicly." Okay? Very simple, very straightforward. But these are things that we need to know in our deen. All right, what about finding a lost child? So what's happened in the last 2 days is, first of all, usually I get really bad allergies every single year around this time. What's happened in the last 2 days is our neighbor in the back, you know, there was no one living in that home, so they moved in and took care of, just a couple of days ago, took care of all the, you know, the grass and the weeds and everything. And the neighbor to the side of us, they were not living in the house and are putting it up for sale now. And so they had landscapers come in and cut the grass and pull out all the weeds and do all of that. And subhanAllah, our windows are open this morning and I can feel it immediately affecting me. Right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure us all and make it easy for us to get through you know, these beautiful sunny warm days, but to be able to put up with the ragweed and hay fever and, you know, allergies that we typically have here within Canada. Okay. Finding a lost child. Now, I wasn't really going to do this topic because, like, how often do we find a lost child, especially us living in Canada? However, as I was reading through it, I thought to myself, I've been to countries and I've been to places where I see drop-off boxes or deposit boxes in the wall of buildings for people who have a child and don't want to keep it and maintain that child for whatever reason. Or for people who found a child that was left somewhere in the gutter, in the, you know, in the ditches on the side of the road, you know, left somewhere underneath a shelter, put in front of your doorstep. There are these drop boxes or deposit boxes where you can come and put those children that are found. So I thought to myself, well, then the topic of finding a child is something that we technically should cover. Because I remember when I was in Malaysia, this is a thing in Southeast Asia where, you know, some people experience extreme poverty and they're not able to look after their children. So they would rather give up their child once it's born to an organization that will, you know, look after them in an orphanage, that will educate their children, that will give them, you know, some food to eat, some clothing to wear, and possibly even someone else's home to live in. And it's very hard for, of course, like none of us can ever imagine, except that we've gone through it, how difficult it must be for some people. However, Islamically, we look at it as a child being rizq and brings rizq, it brings provision for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more wealth when children are born into our families. And He provides for them and provides for us as well to be able to look after them. Of course, everyone has their own circumstances that they go through. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look after every single one of us and to make it easy for all of those around us to be able to look after and take care of their children. So very quickly, forgive me, my nose is... Very quickly, we will, inshallah, go through this, you know, this part of the chapter. So finding a lost child refers to finding an underage child, as in a child that is not mature, on the streets, lost along the way, or one whose lineage is not known. Now, before we go any further, please keep in mind that you have to respect and abide by the laws of the country that you live in, that you reside in. So every country has its own process, right? You're not just going to find a child and take that child in and automatically the child belongs to you. There needs to be a reporting process. There needs to be something that is done. So the ruling on taking in such a child Islamically is that it is a communal obligation to take in lost children, children that are found. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالْتَعَالَى Taqwa, help one another in piety and righteousness. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَى. Now, what about the child's Islam? What deen is that child going to be brought up upon? If a child is found in an Islamic country or environment, then the ruling is that that child would be considered a Muslim. And he is also considered to be free. Islamically, we consider a child that is found or a person that is found to be a free person. The reason why we mention this is because there are some, you know, nations of the West that would consider a found person to be the property of the person who found them. As in, they were slave to the person who found them. In Islam, we don't consider that to be right. A person who is found, who has no family, no lineage, they are a free person, right? We respect them as a free person. We treat them as a free person. We do not take them in and enslave them, okay? Alhamdulillah, that's the Islam, right? Um, if that person or that child is found and possesses with them some wealth, so they have with them some wealth, maybe it's a baby, and wrapped in with the baby is a pouch of golden coins, for example. The wealth may be used to look after the child. Otherwise, it should be maintained from the public treasury. As in, that wealth is going to be used to look after the child. And if there's no wealth that is found with the child, then the wealth of the Muslims will be used to look after the child. Okay? What about the inheritance of this child? So if a child is found and then after some time passes away, if the child should die and leave some wealth behind, but there is no family heirs, there's no one from the family to inherit that child's wealth, then the wealth is property of the public treasury, as in within Islam we have Baytul Mal, right? Similarly, If someone murders a person, there is blood money from that family, from the family of the person who committed the crime. We call it blood money, as in money, wealth that is paid to the family. Okay, wealth that is paid to the family for the loss of their loved one. And so if there's no one from that child's family, Islamically, we'd consider that wealth to be wealth that still needs to be given from the criminal's family or from the criminal themselves to either the child who's the family of the child, if there is any immediate family. We're talking about actual blood relatives, right? Not just, you know, adopted parents or family. Or there's no one. And usually that's the case because that's why the child is lost and found, then that blood money would go to the bank. So it still needs to be paid out, but it would be paid out on behalf of, so it would be paid out to the child who's no longer there. So it by default belongs to the Bayt al-Mal. Claiming a child now, right? Claiming a relationship. If a man or woman claims that the child is his or her relative, the child will be joined with them if that were a possibility. Okay? If two or more claim the child, then they have to now prove their case. If they're not able to, then the child will be taken to an expert on family traits. Islamically, we have certain things that we look at, but now we have modern technology as well that allows us to do DNA testing. And a Sharia court in various different, you know, countries will have their own process. So we'll leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala. You know, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty and the details of things because we are teaching online and it's international, and there's so many different things that apply in different countries, and we have to respect the different laws of those countries. That doesn't mean that we're taking away from the deen, but it means that we have to just generally what the topic is or what the ruling is. And then there are always going to be, general rulings with regards to certain issues and topics. And there are specific ones. And there's no need for us to get into specific ones because we're not talking about specific cases. Okay, we're just keeping it regular. So that's all that we'll take for today, inshallah ta'ala. Next week we are going to start with gift giving. So giving someone a gift, or giving them a partnership in some sort of wealth. We'll get that from next Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu fikum. Sallallahu wa sallam wa barak على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I'll keep it open if anyone has any questions for the next. SubhanAllah. Wow. alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And also someone said, someone replied to my hamd when I sneezed. I said, alhamdulillah, some of you said, yarhamukallah. And so, yahdikumullahu wa yuslihu balakum. Khair, I think that's all we have for today. I'll see all of you soon. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.